With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
This is the View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Wednesday, the 10th of April, 2019. My name is Patrick Smith. An absolute demolition of the Coventry Blaze in the quarterfinal of the playoffs is what we witnessed at that on the past weekend. Not only at home, but away from home at the Sky Dome. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the civic reception for the Belfast Giants, the Ice Academy. We're going to whiz through this. It's a bare bones sort of job because you've had quite a bit of content from us in the last couple of weeks. And let's be fair, the nerves are starting to ramp up towards the weekend. So we're going to whiz through it as quickly as we possibly can. And to do that, Mr. David McGimsey, how are you?
Good evening, Patrick. I'm very well, thank you. And yourself?
Yeah, good to see you on Sunday.
Ah, thanks, mate. It was lovely to get up.
An enjoyable game at that, but we'll come to that. And Mr. Kitchen, how are you?
I'm dead on, Patrick. Yeah, all good. And we're doing a playoff weekend.
Your commentary duties are done for the season. I'm sure you're pleased.
I'm over the moon.
But your podcast duties are yet to finish.
I know. I'm looking forward to getting that over with as well. we're only starting this at 20 past 10 tonight because I was watching the Spurs match. So thanks to the boys for waiting on. But the other thing about it for me, I was looking back when you on your Twitter last week you posted about how many games it done. I actually didn't realise it done that many, to be honest. But it's always great crack on Giants TV. You know, you've been on with Mick Davies, been on Mace is absolutely brilliant to do the games with. I've enjoyed John Pell being there and all the other guys as well. So it's been a good season. And winning a couple of trophies along the way has been extra special as well.
Before we get cracking into the game, actually, let's mention that video from Neil Whiteside, the sort of retrospective over the season. Davey, another spine tingler from Neil.
It's condescending to say you expect nothing less. The kid's a genius, and him and Johnny doing the music and all together, they're just really, really good at what they do. And just he keeps setting the bar higher and higher of what sort of output he puts out there. And just it was fantastic, as you say, a real trip down memory lane over the last sort of 7-8 months, whatever it's been, but absolutely fantastic.
And says you've got the behind the scenes on that. Those boys do one hell of a work.
The two of them are brilliant. There's in fairness, Neil and Johnny get all the plaudits, but you know, there's a bigger crew than that behind the scenes as well. There's always people that the likes of Solène sits at every game and does the edit for the highlights and listens to me. She's French and I'm from Belfast, and she's had to pick me up with regards to some of the things I'm saying over the last couple of years. And she makes notes of exactly what minute and what time of the game it was at and would put in the highlights as well. So it's not just the couple of them that have been thrown in there a couple of times, but they do an absolutely brilliant job. And again, that video, Davey's touched on it. I'm not surprised in the slightest.
Absolute belter. Absolutely. Right. Well, the other one, I could just find a favor just watching this thing. What's he saying? Just put it in. Right, let's look at the two games over the course of the weekend over the Coventry Blaze. As I said, it was a bit of a demolition job for the Belfast Giants, and that started on Saturday night at the SSE Arena. 5-0 for your Belfast Giants. First goal came from that man, Darcy Murphy, in the first period. I think that made it 50 goals for the season for Darcy Murphy and 99 points at that point. Into the second period, Jordan Smotherman made it 2-0. Chris Higgins made it 3-0 into the third period. Colin Shields, before I get into the third period, that second goal from Chris Higgins was Darcy Murphy on the assist, and he got 100 points for the season. Into the third period, Colin Shields, in his final game at the SSC Arena, rounds it off with a 4-0. And Jonathan Ferland finished the deal 9 minutes of 41 into the third to make it 5-0. Your goalkeepers were Tyler Bescarani, 20 saves from 20, the shutout for him, and Matt Hackett, who had one hell of a game, and we'll come to that, 32 saves on 37 shots. Your referees that night, as they were for both Matt Thompson and Chris Wells. We travel the next night to the Sky Dome in Coventry, and the Giants rounded it off 7-2, a 12-2 finish overall. Jonathan Ferland opened the score in the first period, 10 minutes 43, before Jim Vandermeer, a little over 2 minutes later, made it 2-0 on a lovely move from back to front. Jordan Smotherman on the power play with 2 seconds left in that period made it 3-0. Into the second period, Dustin Johnner made it 4-0 before the Blaze started to hit back and brought a bit of cheer to their crowd. They cheered both the goals from Sean Pauley and Ben Lake in that second period because it was the only 2 goals they got in the entire tie. Jordan Smotherman in the third period made it 5-2. And then Jordan Smotherman again made it 6-2 with a hat-trick, Davey.
Oh, what did I say? 12th of the season?
12th of the season. Is that a record?
That sounds like a record to me, mate.
And Blair Riley made it 7-2 with 29 seconds left on the clock and proceeded to celebrate right in front of the guys in block 13 of the Sky Dome, telling them quite emphatically that it was over. In nets, Jordan Headley getting the start. Rumour was that Matt Hackett... Oh, not rumour, it was stated by Danny Stewart after the game that Matt Hackett twinged something in warm-up and told Danny Stewart that he couldn't play. But Headley took the start, 38 saves on 45 shots. Tyler Bescarani, the other side, 24 saves on 26 shots. And as I said, your referees all weekend were Matt Thompson and Chris Wells. Mr. Kitchen, I'll start with you. It was a demolition.
Yeah, Saturday night, a very, very professional performance. Bubba dominated completely. Besco, you know, I think it was 17 shots, I said, for Besco on Saturday. If it wasn't much more than that, but Besco did what he had to do, got another shout out
to Tyler Bescarani.
Absolutely. I thought we worked hard. I thought we were structured. To be honest, at no time did I see them putting us under any pressure whatsoever. Even when they're on the power play, you know, they had to control the puck around the outside. I thought Kevin Rehm was absolutely immense again. He picked up a defenseman of the year Sunday night before. And then, you know, a big, big block right at the end of the second period by McFaul just goes to show. I mean, I think at that stage we're 4-0 up. We're 3-0 up. And, you know, and cruising. But if they get that goal back, a wee bit of confidence going into the end of the second period, it's a different story. But, you know, I know that Kendall's got a big bruise on a part of his body at the minute, and he certainly felt that one. But, again, I thought we were absolutely dominant. I think they're spurred on by the thought of, obviously, you know, it's the playoffs. Yes, they want to win it. But picking up that trophy at the end of the game, you know, that was a big, big point of making sure that they did not go out and lose the last game at the arena this year.
Davey, Simon said it there. Over the course of both games, there was no real test for the Belfast Giants, or was there? Because, you know, the Coventry Blaze beat the Cardiff Devils on home ice 3-1 a little under a week ago before that. And, you know, they're not a bad side. Is it a case that over the course of the weekend, the Giants were much better, or that the Coventry Blaze just weren't at the races?
I think there's an element that we came out very well in the first period of the first game, set the tone for what was going to go ahead, and we just didn't give them any space to breathe at all through the game. You know, like through that the Saturday night game, you know, 73 attempts on net overall. You know, they hit the block 21 shots. We hit the pipe. I think about three posts and a bar as well. you know, they've blocked 21 shots. It could have been absolute carnage. Hackett lost, you know, Hackett couldn't hack it, as you said on Saturday night. You know, he lost the plot completely. And as far as the Belfast Giants, you know, they just kept the foot down the whole game, and it came away with 5-0, and it could have been a lot worse. You know, Tyler Bescaroni comes away, 8th shutout of the season. That ties him as, you know, all-time lead behind Stephen Murphy in terms of import goaltenders. Came in here and he's done it in one season. I think he tied Mike Menard, who was here for a couple, wasn't he?
Yep.
You know, it was an exceptional performance on the Friday night. We got the power play goal, obviously, from Higgy. We got scoring from all three lines, which was important. You know, and I think if you want to, you know, air brackets, the third line, you know, Higgy, Shays and Furley all coming up with a goal each. What was important, I think Jeff Mason has called it a few times on Giants TV over the last couple of months, you know, to really be successful, we know that the top two lines have real good quality right through it. You know, Bonner and Murphy. Murphy over 100 points, Bonner over 90 points. Supplement that with the likes of Rudy, who was obviously the healthy scratch, and Blair Riley, who scored an absolute ton of points. And that third line is clicking in and they scored goals on Saturday and Sunday. So that bodes well for what's going to be a massive, massive weekend ahead.
Says Davey mentioned Matt Hackett there, and in that first game, as the goals started to rain in, and he did well to begin with, but as the goals started to rain in, he totally lost the plot.
Yeah, again, you know, it's a two-game affair. He lost it just into the third period, and to be honest, he lost it for his team. He'd taken a stupid penalty, getting involved in something he didn't need to. You know, you've a full house at the SSE Arena. All, you know, it's all your fault. It's all your fault. And then, he interacts with the crowd. I have no problem with that if you're winning. If you're losing, concentrate in the game.
It looked like he wanted out of the game at one point.
I said that on the comms. I think he signaled towards the bench, and Danny Stewart, whether he ignored him or whether just basically said, you know, stay where you are, I don't know. I find it hard to believe that he was injured in something. I don't think that was the case.
No.
You know, yes, you want to save grace to a certain extent. To be honest, I know Headley, you know, he conceded 7 goals. Look, the bottom line is we were not going to lose that tie over the weekend. I thought we were excellent. And Adam, when you guys were doing the interviews, you know, you talked about dropping down the, sorry, Adam talked about dropping down the testimonial speed. That's exactly what it was.
Yep.
Very honest, we could have absolutely pumped them on Sunday night, and I mean properly pumped them. If we'd have kept the foot on the throat using one of Neil Russell's quotes, we genuinely could have tore them a new one. But we, you know, 7 goals, dominant, absolutely dominated them. And over the weekend, coming out 12-2 against Coventry, who beat Cardiff the week before 3-1 at home, sends a signal to everybody else around the league that we mean business in the playoffs.
The interesting comment that came from Danny Stewart after the game in his interview with Ed Kimberley was that the tweak that came, knew there was something about the tweak that came in Hackett on warm up, and then he says it was Hackett that told us he couldn't play, not the doctor. I could be reading too much into this, but not the doctor, not the physio. It was Hackett who told us he can't play. So read into that what you will. I read into it that maybe he just didn't want to play, or, you know, or benefit of the doubt, maybe he was injured. Davey, you know, you myself, and the aforementioned Neil Russell were stood at the back of the block in the Sky Dome. There was some lovely play. That second goal, the Jim Vandermeer one, the build-up play for it was sublime.
Oh, a little drop pass, and, you know, a boom, an absolute cannon from, you know, just inside the blue line, top of circles, and there was an audible gasp when it went in before there was a cheer. You know, the Giants fans and the Coventry Blaze fans alike could not believe what they'd just seen. It's such a rocket. And then Smo coming up with a lovely pick finish at the top corner. Just, yeah. And those three goals killed. The tie was already over, let's be honest, but those three goals kind of just took everything the Coventry Blaze, you know, their backup goaltender being 5-0 up, was already a real hard task for them. We've scored 2 quick goals after, you know, 10, 12 minutes. Let's put a 7 up. Hey. And
hey, hold
from on. Then on, from then on, they Here comes the
little man. We don't do other soft drinks in this show.
The locksmith. as we got your new nickname on Sunday night, there says.
I was wondering where that came from. Carry on.
We'll tell you what it means later. But, you know, the tie was over at the end of the first period. You know, we're 8-0 up on aggregate. And we really did take the foot off gas. My concern, and we talked about the game as it was going on, the game, the pace of the game dropped down, and then you're worrying about Besco getting run, or I can't remember whether it was Paddy Dwyer or Fairley took what looked to be...
Fairley took one that looked at his neck.
We all thought, oh my goodness, that's really bad. But, you know, we managed to come through the game pretty whole, and it's one of those... 12-2 was not a flattering scoreline. It could have been a lot worse.
Just before we round this out, go on, Seth.
Paddy, can I just, you know, the incident with Fairley, is that the way against the far boards from
it was the far side of the rink from us.
Yeah, it wasn't the player tripped them up. I thought it was a penalty all day long, but it was the linesman's skate that caught Fairley in the neck.
Yeah.
So, again, very, very lucky.
There was a big gasp from us, and then, you know, the physio or the doctor comes on really, really quickly. They're waving him in, and you think the worst. Thankfully, it wasn't, but it just, well, conversation.
You never miss a shift. Unbelievable.
Straight away, straight back on.
You guys are made it. And then Sizzle maybe want to talk about as well, the rather naughty-looking hitting Josh Roach as well.
Sizz?
I thought it was a penalty. I thought it was more than two as well. I know he got 2 plus 10, but I thought it was a 5 minute. Roche looks over his left shoulder to see him coming in, just holds up. He's partly to blame for Roche, to be honest. I thought he should have went tight against the wall, and then he's not getting putting himself in that predicament. But when you're you expect Kevin Morris to hold up, you know, even if he just ushers him into the wall and holds him off for a second, try and get the puck away from him. Didn't slow down. He went through the numbers, put him straight into the wall. I'm surprised when he got 2 plus 10.
Before we move on and we look ahead, I can't leave this tie without mentioning Blair Riley's celebration. Now, we enjoyed Blair Riley's celebration in front of the Sheffield Steelers away support earlier in the season. Davey, like I say, you and I were stood next to each other as he ran over. He just basically, the puck hits the back of the net. There's 29 seconds left on the clock, and he gets straight to block 13 to let them know that it's over.
It was hard to know where he was actually going because he took off at such high speed. You know, there was no huddle or players or anything. Mm-hmm. He just took off and dived into the bench. And you know, was he going to hug Kiefer or something? Then he's obviously done his it's over. So, and to be fair, the fans have been chirping him all game. And as we know, he was chirping them straight back. And whenever he did that, on a different day, that provokes a different reaction. But almost a person, the fans all, they were bowing to him, they were clapping him. They took it in the spirit it was intended. You know, it wasn't the nasty thing he was doing. He was just having pure banter with them. And it was good to see that it was taken in the kind of spirit it was intended.
I think that shows where the Coventry Blaze were as well. As the fact, like you say, on a different day, that evokes a different reaction, says, because... I'd like to think that if an away captain came on the one on his bench and started making signals to our crowd, then, you know, there is a reaction to that. However, they're 12-2 down, they're absolutely demoralised, and it's just the final nail in the coffin.
Yeah, I mean, in all fairness, if that happens in your own bench and they're going your own fans, as a player, you just want to trail that guy with a couple of the bench and get stuck into him. You touched on one thing there, Paddy, as the captain. You know, going back to the start of this season, Blair Riley had a really slow start. He picked up that knock in pre-season. He came in a great shape, picked up the knock, picked up a concussion. And, you know, he was out for 2 or 3 weeks at the start of the season. Missed the pre-season games, missed the first off Challenge Cup games. And there was people calling for his head. There genuinely was. People calling, why would you want to give him a C? I hope they're looking at themselves right now going, do you know what? I was absolutely wrong. Because
I no doubt they are.
100%. Well, look, good. I hope they are, because you look at what he's done for this team this year. There's games that he has just went, right, boys, jump on my back. We're going here. And he's been absolutely outstanding. Absolutely 100% outstanding.
I'd be surprised if anybody was so stubborn would look back and say, no, I stand by the fact that I don't think Blair Riley has performed, because Blair Riley, like you say, has been the captain that you want. You know, we've had some, I think the conversation, Davey, you got involved in, I think Andrea Cochrane or somebody brought it up with regards to where he ranks in the great captains, and you rhymed off the likes of Cruiser, Rebic, Keefe, you know, Sheds,
well, Johnny,
Hold, Packer. You know, how do you rank them?
I don't think it's possible to.
Don't think so.
I think in terms of trophies, he's had phenomenal success in his he's in his third season now in the Belfast Giants. But if you look, Sheds, what he's won, what he's done, George Iwata, you know, arguably for me, his number should hang on the bridge. Shane Johnson, his number does. Jeff Hoad, first captain of the Belfast Giants, done it, you know, won the league in his second season.
Packer.
Jason Ruff, we all think. Packer wasn't legitimately a season-long captain. Yes, he had the C on his shirt, but... You know, Jason Ruff, some of us believe to be, in terms of pure playing ability, maybe not what he's produced to the organisation over longevity, one of the best guys ever to wear the shirt. Paul Cruz, the reputation he came with and did it all for us. Jeremy Rebic, unbelievable. Adam Keefe, what he's done over, you know, the 6 or 7 season he played, and now he's stepped behind the bench. And Blair Riley, how do you rank that quality? For me, I don't think you could rank that in order. The guys... As guys, as great human beings, it seems to be a popular nuance these days. Just as guys, they're all absolutely fantastic men. But in terms of leadership, what they've produced in terms of trophies and what they've produced in terms of entertainment and stuff at the Belfast Giants, I personally could not rank them.
It's interesting how successful we've been in terms of selecting captains. I guess every club could turn around and say, you know, we have our captains who are successful, you know. But looking back through our... almost 20-year history, we have had some great captains, and Blair Riley is another one of those.
I don't believe there's another club in the country in the last 20 years could list off a better selection of captains. The challenge is out there. If you listen to this podcast and you're a fan of another team, give me your list that's better than my list, and I'll tell you why you're wrong.
Contact us at AVFTB or at Davey_McG. Right, Belfast Giants have scored 37 goals in the last 6 games. But if you want to see the 12 goals that have been scored just in the last 2 games, you can get the highlights on kingdomofthegiants.com, and you see them from Belfast Giants TV and Blaze TV. Before we move on, just a quick note for our sponsors. Beer 52 is the UK's number one craft beer delivery service. They'll deliver you all different selection of craft beers, porters, stouts, whatever you like. Different selection every single month, and you can get them on beer52.com/AVFTB. The first box is free. Also to Phonacab, we'll be talking about the Player of the Month award in just a second, but a big thanks to them for sponsoring that. And Total Performance Fitness, who get behind our post-game interviews, and you can find them on kingdomofthegiants.com or soundcloud.com/AVFTB. And big thanks to all of our sponsors for this season. The next thing on my agenda is actually the civic reception that took place at Belfast City Hall just under a week ago. Simon, you were there. It was a recognition of the Belfast Giants that the Belfast City Hall was lit up in teal. The Lord Mayor gave a speech. There's an article on kingdomofthegiants.com with an interview with Robert Fitzpatrick where he brings up the fact she mentions the ice rink. It's something that we will be champion on this show week in, week out, as you know. But it's a great bit of recognition for the team considering their achievements so far this season.
Yeah, and you know, it was organised before the league was won as well. It was more or less they were talking about doing as the Challenge Cup recognition, and it sort of turned into a bigger celebration than because of the league championship as well. And you know, all the boys were there, and the Ice Academy were there, from, you know, they were getting their certificates handed out by the Lord Mayor as well. So you know, the big thing for me, and again, Paddy, you just mentioned it, was the recognition from the council that we need more ice rinks. They, you know, the mayor's basically said it on record, and she said in front of all those people that night that the council will do it. They will basically back it. That's the first time that somebody's come out and recognised that, which is absolutely huge. Yes, the Odyssey Trust are working their tail off to try and get everything in order, all their ducks in a row, and make sure everything, you know, it is up and running with ASAP. But it's absolutely crucial now. You know, we've got a lot of kids coming through 12, 13, 14, 15 years of age, and a few younger as well, that are showing a lot of potential. But to make that next step, we need more facilities to basically put us on to the next step itself. And I mean, just yesterday, the GB women, you know, got a silver medal in their world stage, or World Cup, sorry, World Championship stage as well, which is fantastic. You know, the whole GB setup, it was about one of your favorite topic, Paddy, but you know, it's you know, the whole setup from the under 18s, the right the whole way through to under 21, right the whole way through to the senior setup. Now the women are getting good records and picking up medals as well. It's important for that as well as the opportunity for maybe another Team Ireland to have a go at it. You know, let's be honest, the kids that are coming through from Belfast won't get the recognition to play for Team GB, although a lot of them possibly could. And but if there's another chance for Team Ireland to get up and running again, whether it's at another 16, under 18 or 21 level or the senior level, they need more facilities. And it's not just in the north. They have to get facilities down south as well. I'm absolutely baffled that there isn't an ice rink in Dublin. I just don't get it. I honestly don't get it. I mean, they used to have one in a carpet warehouse in Phibsborough, where the fans pissed on you from above onto your bench, and that started a riot, and then we had to get a police escort out of the place. But that's another story. But
and a good one by the sounds of it.
Oh, mate, that's an absolute cracker. But the I honestly can't understand why that facility in Dublin has never materialised. I just don't get it.
You mentioned it there, Simon, and one of the other things that took place at that civic reception was the graduation for the guys from the Belfast Giants Ice Academy. If you don't know what that is, it's in its second year now, and they take in 20 care experienced young people and give them development. They put them on the ice with the Belfast Giants and teach them how to skate, but that's not just it. You know, they have a lot of professional off-ice training, including sessions of communications, diversity, innovations, and skills training to try to give them a bit of a foot up and new skills and attributes to seek improvement in their life chances. Don't just take it from me. We've got an interview here that Simon did with Alicia Duncan, who was, well, actually, let's let her tell her own story.
Alicia Duncan, a mentor in the Ice Academy in the second year. Last year, you were one of the participants. How did that all come about with the invitation to the Ice Academy?
So I grew up in foster care, so I did, and when I turned 18, I moved into supported accommodation run by Bernardo's, where I had my own flat, and they had a poster advertising the Belfast Giants Community Odyssey Ice Academy, and I wasn't too sure of it. I'd been to games and all before, and I just thought, why not? I'll give it a go. So I signed up, and I really enjoyed it.
When you're on the ice at the SSE Arena, and you're being out there alongside the Belfast Giants, Adam Keefe and some of the players as well, I'm sure it was a lot of fun as well as being involved in what you do and getting involved in the Ice Academy.
It was a lot of fun, because you watch the boys on the ice every weekend playing ice hockey, and you don't think you'd be playing ice hockey with them or helping them teach you. Like, Odyssey does have skating sessions with the Giants, but playing ice hockey with them is a lot different. You can see them getting competitive with you, and it just shows them that they just want to be part of the community as well. Like, it's not just a professional team, they're reaching out to everyone.
Could you skate before you got involved in the Ice Academy?
I could ice skate, but I couldn't play ice hockey, which is two completely different things.
Skating around with a stick and the helmet and all the equipment, though, it does make it a little bit different.
It does, yeah. And like, for obviously the boys, it doesn't take them too long to get the gear on. It took our group about a good 30, 45 minutes. Jeff was telling us to hurry up every session to get onto the ice, so it was. But once you get all the gear on and all, you're feeling the atmosphere and you're ready to go.
We've just heard your speech in front of all these people at the City Hall tonight. That must took a lot of confidence for you to stand up in front of these people too.
It definitely did. Like, I would never imagine myself speaking in front of the city, in front of the Lord Mayor, or even like my favourite sports team. Like a year ago, I wouldn't have did anything like it, even for my English GCSE speaking. So I wouldn't. But just to come up here and just to tell the Belfast Giants and let them know how much of an impact they've made on me by being on the Ice Academy with us.
The mentor role this year, you've been leading by example and obviously bringing the new kids along with you as well.
So the mentor program, obviously I did the program last year, but this year I was invited along and help the new participants this year. So it's been great. This year we went on a residential and everything with the young people, and I've had more of a leadership role and just having friends and like it's not just and to see like the ones from last year come back and regain friendships from them.
And leading on from that, you've now got a job at the SSE Arena / Odyssey.
So I was at the. I now have a job working in W5 as a casual worker, but I do work there most of the days of the week. And it sort of came about. I was invited along with Wendy Langham at the French of Four back in November, and I was talking to Robert Fitzpatrick, and he was going on to me about working in W5 and everything because I was working in a job where I wasn't really enjoying it, and I just didn't have much confidence working there. But Robert was going on about working in W5, and I was like, "Are you sure it's a job for me?" But once I signed up for the job, and I've been working there since December, which I'm really enjoying now. And I'm also going to, with thanks to some of the Odyssey Trust staff helping me, I'm now going to be starting a foundation degree in event management at Belfast Met in September too.
That's absolutely fantastic. On top of that, the Belfast Giants have just won the Elite League. You must be pleased at that, and maybe another chance to win a trophy at the end of this weekend as well.
Yeah, so I was at the awards night on Sunday night, so I found out then. Obviously, I walked in and everybody, 2 minutes to go, 2 minutes to go, 1 minute, and just to go in and just see the team come out of the room and just party with them, essentially, that we've won the league was the best feeling, because I haven't been a fan for like too long, like about maybe one or two seasons, so it has, and now we've got the chance of going for the Grand Slam with 4 trophies, and like as a fan and as an Odyssey Ice Academy mentor, like I don't see why they couldn't do it.
Thanks, Alicia. Great story. Davey, the Giants, over the, you know, we know with regards to Jim Gillespie and what he brought to the club and the sort of professional and sort of community aspects that he brought to the club. But the Ice Academy and what you hear there from Alicia is fantastic.
She's an inspirational. I'm not going to call her. I'm going to call her. She's an inspirational wee girl. Inspirational young woman and speaks so well. And it's just another thing that the you know, it's so well, it's a hidden secret almost. You know, the Ice Academy's been going for a couple of years now, doing such great work, and it's visionary, if you like. It's getting young guys and young girls off the street. It's giving them a chance, and, you know, it's giving them a chance in the marketplace as well. They're getting to get jobs out of it. They're getting confidence out of it, and they're coming back and helping other people, which is, you know, key to me that they've seen how good it can be. And, you know, Sis knows a lot more about it than I do with me being out of the country most of the time. And, you know, it's something that if I ever get back to Northern Ireland, I'd love to be involved in some way, helping out on.
Says great interview from the girl. Like I say, she's had it tough, but she's found a way just to overcome that and achieve.
She's a great kid, a real, real good kid. You know, listen, they're being in foster care from the age of 4 years of age. I've absolutely no idea what that would be like. Nope. You know, being put from pillar to post and coming out the other side, but David touched on there, I know an awful lot more about it. I don't, I've probably been a bit ignorant to it, if I'm honest. You know, Mace has been involved from day one at the start of the year before last. And, you know, Steve Thornton, Adam Keefe's heavily involved. The boys get them on the ice whenever they possibly can. Just going out there and whether it's teaching them how to skate or stick handler or whatever it may be. And I honestly didn't really put much attention into it, but when Alicia started speaking at the City Hall in front of all those people who she talked about being anxious beforehand. And when I arrived at the City Hall last Wednesday night, she was walking about with a wee clipboard and her notes and stuff on it. And I could see that she was really, really nervous. She didn't come across that way when she started speaking. I thought she was absolutely fantastic. Davey's touched on inspiration 100%, 100%. And this year she was used as the mentor because she did it the first year. She's now working on W5. You know, she started a degree in university. This would not be possible without the Odyssey Trust, without the people behind it, the likes of Mason and Wendy Langham from the Odyssey yeah. Trust as well. All those people putting the efforts in and getting the kids, you know, some who have been through very, very tough times to a position where they do have someone to go to, they do have somebody to speak to, they do have somebody to look up to. And even though Alicia's is only probably about 5 foot one, she gets that group. And I thought it was absolutely fantastic. I know that they're planning to do it again next year. And for a massive kudos to everybody involved. I think it's just hands up, or hat tips, as Joel would say, to everybody involved with the Odyssey Ice Academy.
Here, here. And it's another feather in the cap for the Odyssey Trust, for the Belfast Giants, and it's a fantastic opportunity that is provided to these kids. And long may that continue. Time for the results of March's Player of the Month, brought to you by Phonacab. We put four nominees out to you guys. You cast your votes and, well, over 1,100 of you put your name behind one of those four Belfast Giants. So, the results in order. With 20% of the vote, number 14, Jordan Smotherman. With 21% of the vote, number 12, Kyle Bond. With 28% of the vote, number 34, Tyler Beskar-Arani. But with 31% of the vote, your player of the month for March is number 89, Jonathan Boxall. Congratulations to Box. He was presented with the award after the game last weekend. And thanks to all 1,100 of you who cast your vote in this month's Player of the Month competition. And a big thank you to Phonacab. Congratulations to Jonathan Boxall, who picked up his award, as I say, after the game against the Coventry Blaze there, just before the lesser trophy, the league trophy, was handed out. Of course, the better trophy being the A View from the Bridge Player of the Month award. Davey, you know, Boxy has been such a great servant to the club and well-deserving of the award.
Yeah, when you look back at the last month, take away the couple of goals they chipped in, which are key in the run-in to get scored out of every line. Not just, we talked about the first, second and third lines earlier on, for that fourth line to come up with goals as well. The big block in the Challenge Cup final is one that is on highlight reels all the time now. You know, those things resonate with fans. That's what we want as Belfast Giants. We want that blue-collar work. We want the guys to lie down in front of the shots for us, because a big block shot like that and a big block shot like Kendall McFaul comes up with on Saturday night are as good as a big save from Besko, or as good as a goal from Darcy Murphy. You know, those are the key things that you just want contribution. And Johnny Boxall has contributed when he's been out on the ice, not just this month, but especially he seems to have really risen his game in this last month to be, he's desperate to be out on the ice and he's earning his ice time. And that's all you can expect for, or all you want from a guy. And, you know, the other candidates were fantastic candidates that people spoke on, and I can't argue with their decision.
Says before, come and get your opinion on this. You had a chance to speak with Boxy earlier today.
Tuesday morning, boys are back to work, ready to get on the ice here at the SSA Arena. I'm joined by Jonathan Boxall, the A View from the Bridge Player of the Month for March. Boxy, what's your thoughts on the fans voting you as their favourite player for March?
Yeah, obviously, that's in all seriousness, it's a very prestigious award. There's been a lot of guys that have come through this organisation and been had the privilege of winning that. So to just be mentioned with them is an honour. And obviously, that was a big month for us, winning you know, the things that we did. So yeah, it was a special month. And to get any accolade is a privilege. But it was, you know, I'm sure it's a cliche thing you hear, but it was a team month. So let's not take away from that.
I'm going to take away from that for the minute. Well, you know, that huge block in the cup final was, you know, a lot of fans really appreciate your effort, and you know your role in this team. But coming up with a couple of big goals down the stretch as well is an important part of it, and you played your role to, you know, seriously high effect.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that. Obviously, Kenny had that big block here against Coventry at the end of the second period. I think the timing of it and the way he did it in such a big moment on the penalty kill just shows the buy-in from this team. As the first thing Kiefer said when we came in the room is, you know, those sort of things win championships, and to have any part of the amount of winning that we've had this year is a big thing. So no, it was a real honour to win it the way I did, and obviously there was a good crowd for seeing the trophy presentation, so it was a special night.
Coventry past weekend. Did you a favour the week before? You didn't take that lightly. You went out and literally demoralised them all over the weekend with a 12-2 scoreline.
Yeah, no, it was a great weekend. I think everybody did their role, and we're riding high right now, and we know what we have the opportunity to do going into Nottingham this weekend, and we appreciate what Coventry did for us. They're a good group of guys, and it shows a lot of character in that room to win the way they did against Cardiff with, let's be honest here, kind of a meaningless game, and a lot of pride in that room, but we knew what we had to do, and it didn't matter. It didn't matter who we were coming up against. We knew we had to go through them, and we've done that. So we're looking forward to the next challenge against Guildford.
When I say demoralised, I meant demolished. And, you know, my English isn't great.
No, that's right.
Guildford this weekend, Saturday afternoon game, 1 o'clock, in front of Nottingham. You've played in that arena a lot of times as a Nottingham Panther. But going in there as a Giant, the favourites to pick that title up. Any more pressure on the boys for that?
Yeah, no, it's any team you play at that weekend, it's going to be pressure. But yeah, it's going to be a special weekend. I've only had the privilege of playing it once, and I know how important this is for the club. Someone was saying that in the last 20 years of the club's existence, we've only won the playoffs twice, and we know how special it would be to finish this year off the way we'd like to. So we need to make sure we, you know, just look ahead to Guildford and see where that result goes. And I know we'll be ready. We're going to have a good week of practice, and it'll be good.
Says Player of the Month.
Yeah, you know, I spoke to Boxy this morning. To be honest, he came across a wee bit embarrassed in getting the recognition, and I don't think he should be embarrassed in the slightest. You know, when you look at the guys who have won the award and over the last couple of years that we've been doing it, you know, some of the names in that trophy are you know top players. Players who play upwards of 17, 18 minutes a game. Boxy doesn't. You know, he's playing 3 or 4 minutes a game. And, you know, when he's coming out there and he's putting the effort in, just as you say about the block shot in the cup final, he scored 2 goals in 3 games coming down the stretch. 2 important goals as well, you know, and getting those wins and obviously picking up that trophy. I can't remember. Is it 8 goals for the season, Davey?
Boxy.
Yeah, I think it's 8 goals and 10 points. Again, look at the ice time he gets. He, you know, for the ice time he gets, he makes the most of it. For me, he deserves it solely for knocking the bag out of Kevin Noble.
Mm-hmm. Should have done it again on Saturday.
Absolutely, if you had the chance. You know, I know he picked up a bit of a knock on Saturday. He didn't get much ice time on the third period, but it'd be good to go this weekend. But, you know, with that game, when Noble hit Lewis Hook on the blue line, yep, Boxy did not hesitate, and that's exactly what needed. That game needed that, and he stood up for his teammates as he always does. He's done it numerous times this season. I don't know how many 5-minute majors he's had this year, but for fighting. But you know,
do you want to know?
Absolutely, thoroughly deserved. Top lad, and fair play, and congratulations, Jonathan Boxall.
Go on,
three fighting majors. All three have drawn instigator penalties also.
All three.
I
don't want to get into a conversation about that. We would be in conversation about the instigator penalty for the rest of the podcast.
And 8+3, as Simon said. Yes.
I guess the natural thing to do now, well, congratulations to Boxy and picking up. Thanks to Phone a Cab for sponsoring the award. The natural movement now is to...
You're welcome.
9-0-3-3-3. The natural move is now to talk about the Kingdom of the Giants' Most Valuable Player of the Award, the 19th time that this award will be handed out, and the details are on kingdomofthegiants.com. All you have to do is email us at mvp@kingdomofthegiants.com and tell us who you are choosing as your Belfast Giants Most Valuable Player. Polls are going to close on Wednesday night, I think at 10 o'clock. But if you get your votes in now, email mvp@kingdomofthegiants.com. I know who Simon Kitchen has voted for, but go on, Saez.
Tyler Beskarwani. Yeah. Thoroughly deserved. Big man has been absolutely sublime this year. 8 shutouts, as David touched on earlier on. He's been lights out. Unbelievable, and thoroughly deserves my vote.
Yeah, we got that vote in. First time emailer, so it's good to hear from you there, Simon.
Yep, first time emailer, yep.
Davey?
I'm going to come back on my on my pick in a wee second. I'm going to give some honourable mentions. Obviously, Darcy Murphy, over 100 points this season, over 50 goals.
Phenomenal.
Sensational. And I think we talked about Blair Riley having a slow start to the season due to injury and stuff. Darcy Murphy didn't have a blazing hot start to the season either. And, you know, when he's picked it up, he's been absolutely...
Unbelievable, this guy.
Yeah, unbelievable. Absolutely right. Before we went on that road trip, there was a few players that just hadn't really got going as the season started. That road trip really sparked us into life. Look down to this, Blair Riley, we've talked about already. Josh Roach, what can you say about a first-year pro who's came in here, 69 points coming in the last weekend out of 77 games.
Played, you know, more games this season than he has the last three seasons combined. Him and Kendall McFaul.
Paddy Dwyer, you know, going. I haven't updated my stats with the 12 goals that were scored last weekend, but going into last weekend, Paddy Dwyer, 81 points in 54 games. Absolutely phenomenal season he's had. He's been out, he's missed, obviously, 23 games. He's missed big chunks of the season. Kevin Rayan, talked about him last week, how he came in, not with a cloud over him, but he came in with questions to answer, if you like, with because of the things that were said whenever he left. Answered everyone. Has been sensational. Joel put him on the spot on the ice after the trophy was awarded last week, and he spoke so well about, yes, it is a great place to play. You know, Josh Roach, you can't mention Josh Roach without mentioning Curtis Leonard. You know, the two of them, if you bear with me 1 second while I frantically scroll through these spreadsheets here. We've played 77 games this season, right? 77 games. Josh Roach has started, has been on the starting six 58 times. Curtis Leonard, 63 times. They're our go-to pairing. They start virtually every game that we play. What can you say? But I will go back with, and I will back Simon Kitchen up there. My MVP for this season is going to be Tyler Bescarani, and I'm going to throw a stat in with it.
And what you going to do?
Jackson Whistle played 70 games in his time with the Belfast Giants.
Who?
Exactly. 70 games in his time for the Belfast Giants, 4,114 minutes. He conceded 212 goals. Tyler Bescarani has played 69 games for the Belfast Giants and has conceded 145 goals. There is a 70 goal swing in 70 games.
Goodness me.
So 8 shutouts, 923 save percentage, you know, many saves as he made. 1,708 saves this season in just over 4,000 minutes. He has been exceptional. I've said before, defenses, goalies win championships. Forwards win games. Don't get me wrong, those guys have been sensational. But Tyler Bescarani should be the MVP for the club this season. I didn't even get to mention stick at bottom corner, Dustin Johnner. You know, he has. You could go through.
I've been looking at all the players that have been coming in, being named. You know, the emails are coming to me, and I'm collating all these votes, and it is a widespread of players who are being nominated for this award, which goes to show the strength in depth that this team have had all season long. The fact that there are so many names coming in. I'm going to back the two of you. Tyler Bescarani for me. That's where my vote went. But that's not to say that there aren't a wealth of standout players that you've went through there, David, and you mentioned. It's just in regards to Paddy Dwyer. You know, how in a season when a player gets 100 points, when a player scores 50 goals, that, you know, they don't, because, oh, sorry, I'm not going to give him the play or my vote for the MVP because Tyler Bescarani is going to get it. It just shows how great this team has been all season. Funny that stat that you said with regards to Bescarani and Jackson Whistler swing, it sent me straight to the league table. There's a 56 goal differential between us and the Sheffield Steelers. Just saying that. And just saying, is there not one more player of the month? MVP you're going to?
Well, I think the guy who's been healthily scratched now 79 times, considering they took him on a contract on a pay-as-you-play basis. And, you know, but he makes the best bagels. He makes the best tea. And what are those breakfasts like, says, with those beans?
Oh, they are the b-.
Are you kidding me, Simon?
I'm not joking. If you haven't got yourself down to Cargo Coffee before the end of the season, make it your plan for the off season to get down there. One, support Toy, heck of a nice guy.
Top man.
Friend of the show and all that there. But the food, the service down there is absolutely second to none. Unbelievable.
Yep, get your votes in for the Kingdom of the Giants MVP award. Davey, this is the 19th time we're handing it out.
It's the 19th time. Paddy, give me 1 second to look up my Twitter, or not even my Twitter. I have that picture from earlier. They'll really quickly run down the list of names. Would it be right in saying we're probably the only, if you want to call it a supporters club, whatever, that has awarded a trophy every season?
I think
apart from the club, you know,
with a T-shirt that was handed to Shane Johnson.
Shane Johnson. So 2001, I'll go in order of years. So 2001, first season onwards, Shane Johnson, Mike Beals, Dave Matsos, Jason Ruff, Martin Klempa, Theo Fleury, Roman Gavalier, Mark Dudium, Paul the Driller Dennisett, Stephen Murphy, John Glebe, Stephen Murphy, second time winner, Daryl Lloyd, Calvin Elfring, what a guy. Daryl Lloyd again, another two-time winner. Brandon Benedict, Blair Riley, and last year, Ryan Martinelli. So quite a list of guys. As I said earlier, the list is long but distinguished.
Yep, there will be a 19th name added to that list. MVP at kingdomofthegiants.com, or find all the details on kingdomofthegiants.com website. Right, the fan agenda is just going to be us boys. We've got a few questions. I'm going to rattle through them. Simon Gray, I'll put Simon's question to you, Simon. Should we do away with playoff finals weekend and have a home and away series like in other countries? See Blair Riley talking about that this week as well.
Yeah. I don't think you'll hear this ever again from me, but I say agree with Dave Sims.
I want to beep that out.
Just saying. You know, Dave's 100% right in what he's saying with regards to...
Are you kidding me, Simon?
Getting the games organised, especially for arena teams at short notice. It's if you take it this year, nobody expected, well, especially the Sheffield Steelers, nobody expected them to be sitting in seventh place. If they get into the playoffs, which they had at the skin of their teeth, when the arena time's booked and it's going to be a Tuesday, a Thursday night for argument's sake, or do they extend that season for the Elite League banner 2 or 3 weekends? I just find it, with the way the business models are for the Elite League teams, I just find it very difficult to understand how teams wouldn't be able to fill, for argument's sake, a 4,500-seater, which is average for the Giants this year. Would they get a 4,500 in for playoffs on a Tuesday or Thursday night? I don't think they would. Even if it was a smaller rink, for argument's sake, the Viola Arena, you know, he holds 3,000 or 2,800 or something. You know, I actually think they'd be struggling to fill that on a Tuesday or Thursday night during the week as well. And you know, coming into late nights, people don't want to be sitting inside ice rinks all day long or all night long with it, you know, potentially coming out of work and not getting any sun. Weather's been brilliant in Belfast the last couple of days. But I sort of do agree with Dave Sims, although I would love to see a mini-series, whether it's three games or 5 games for quarterfinals, semifinals, for the final as well. I understand why it's not. I understand that the playoff weekend basically, you know, goes a long way to funding the Elite League throughout the year, whether it's officials or travel, or it could be, you know, obviously the new trophies which they buy every year. You just don't know, but I think it'll be very difficult to go down the lines of doing a series, although I would love to see it.
Davey, I remember during the ISL days, and we had the group stages, and I think we had that again, but I quite enjoyed the group stages, except I think the season we won the ISL, we missed out on the final four of playoffs on goal difference to the Manchester Storm. So, you know, but the idea of the aggregate and the quarterfinal, semifinal, final, there are different sides to it as well. The league themselves make a hell. Say they make 400k out of the playoff final weekend, and that's so for argument's sake, that's 40k per team this season. The teams aren't going to want to give that up.
No, it allows you to buy one premium level player for your following season, doesn't it? It's a lot of operating costs there, but I can't see a time where they're going to turn with it as a massive cash cow. The playoff finals weekend, it's as probably as good as it's going to get over here because of the issues with having arena time and rink time, and certainly while we're a one rink town, we're certainly not in a position to write our own schedule, but I would love to see it, you know, the playoffs whenever, you know, I know we're not the NHL, but when you go into that, and we remember when Detroit used to go to the playoffs, how much fun it was.
Remember those days?
You lose a couple of games, you're not dead. Yeah. You know, the Coventry Blazers playoffs were over after 30 minutes. That's, you know, we were 3-0 up. We weren't looking back. We were in the rearview mirror at that stage. And, you know, their playoffs are over. Whereas, if you know, they lose that game, it's not an aggregate score. They go into the Sunday night and okay, we went and beat them 7-2. They're 2-0 down. They're not out of it. They can still get something in a couple of days or the following weekend, whenever it might be.
Yeah.
It's been a long season. It's a 60-game league season. Could that be pegged back in some way to allow, you know, some form of mini series? It's hard to know how you would actually do it logistically. And, you know, I kind of agree with Simon that at the minute, the logistics aren't there to enable us to do it. So the best of the bad situation is the playoff final weekend. But it's going to be fantastic as well. You know, a lot of players haven't played in this atmosphere before, and it'll give them something to really, really remember in their careers.
Thomas Brownlee, what do you, Davey, I'll start with you. What do you think of the on loan nonsense of playoffs?
Nonsense.
Yep. That's it.
But I'm a one team guy. That's it. The end. If the Giants weren't there last year, I wasn't there. The Giants go, I go. I don't go and support anybody else. I'm a Giants man.
Yeah. Agreed, Simon.
I absolutely agree. It's a lot of balls. Last year I had my flights booked at my hotel. I was managed to cancel my hotel. Okay, but you know, I'm not going to waste my time going to the playoffs if the Giants aren't there.
One from Tommy Hughes, Davey. Looking back at the Smotherman signing, do you feel we were overpatient with certain players? Obviously, we won the league, but it was close. Was that a turning point of the season?
Was it a turning point? No, he's a very good player coming into a very good team. He's making a very good team a little bit better. Fantastic, fantastic hockey player. You know, he's got 12 goals and 12 or 13 goals in 23 games, 20-odd points, no point a game guys came in here and Challenge Cup final winner, you know, but disappointment in this to me is that the forgotten guys, you know, Bish contributed. I'm disappointed because I called Bish, you know, at the start of the season, he was going to be my MVP. I thought he was going to come in here, rip this league apart. He got 24 points in 44 games. Unfortunately for him, it just didn't click for him in Belfast, and I'm still of the belief that Hunter Bishop, he worked his socks off when he was in Belfast. He was his own biggest critic, and I just don't know, for whatever reason, he just didn't fit or it just didn't work out for him. It's still a lot of time for the Bish, but unfortunately it didn't work out for him. Smoke coming in, and you see on Twitter and you see in the social media, the guy gets it. He gets what it's to be a Belfast Giants. He's found a home very, very quickly here, and he loves it. And great at interacting with the fans and all, but the performances on the ice, as I said, he's making a really, really good hockey club even better. So, you know, credit to him for coming in and hitting the ground rolling.
Says, you know, over the course of this season, Jelly got injured, in came Kevin Rain, out went Francis Bevilliai and Hunter Bishop, in came Higgy and Smough. Was there a real turning point in those pickups?
Yeah, the Smotherman signing has certainly been a big plus. When you look, you talk about guys missing games. You know, Paddy Dwyer missed 22 league games this season, and I said it last week, we'd have been absolutely clear of anybody and everybody if he'd have been playing all those games. But you know, I think it's five. Davey, there's another stat for you. How many guys finished the season playing all the games so far? Actually, it might be four now, because I know, did Hookie not miss one last week?
Well, Hookie's down here on my sheet as 77 games, but that's maybe not right then. I'll double check that for you. Hookie, Lenny,
Kendo,
Roche are the four I've got down as.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it was Dustin Johnner missed the game the other.
Dustin Johnner missed the game. He missed two games. That's right. You know, and when you've only got four guys playing all those games, you know, you look at all the games that have missed. Yes, we have had to play guys who have been healthy scratch. You've got David Rutherford out of the lineup at the moment. There's nothing wrong with him. He's fully fit and ready to go, and he can't get into the lineup. You know, I wouldn't want to be Adam Keefe right now. You know, Jonathan Ferland came in, replaced Rutherford at the weekend. He scored two goals. He got man of the match on Saturday night, got us up and running on Sunday, and that first goal on Sunday was absolutely crucial. You know, yes, you'd still expect winning 5-0 on Saturday night, the game's over and done and dusted. They get a quick goal on Sunday, it's completely different. They get their, you know, their crowd behind them all shouting that stupid Coventry Blaze song. You know, they get up and running and going. But, you know, Ferdy got that first goal and literally killed the game on its head straight away. But David just touched on it there now about, you know, going through the lineup and guys missing out. And I do think that, you know, we sometimes we probably are a little bit too patient with guys. And sometimes you sort of wish that you would be a bit more ruthless. But that's not how the Belfast Giants are. And it's never, we've never been like that. You know, I was looking through the Sheffield Steelers lineup at the weekend. And I can't remember exactly, but I think it was 39 players that they've used this year.
Yeah.
39 players.
Crazy.
You know, that's just unbelievable. It's here 37 or 39, but you look at that, you look at the guys that have been gassed and they brought a new coach in. Just so happens that, you know, Barrasso got them to the playoffs but couldn't get them any further than the quarterfinals. Look at Paul Thompson. He gets sacked or left with, you know, a pat in the back, and he's ripping the place up in Germany. You just never know what's going to happen in the league. It's been an eventful season, but as Davey said earlier on, I couldn't give a toss about every other team. It's all about the tail army.
Thanks to everybody who sent in, Craig. We'll leave it at that because we've got a few things to cover before we wrap it up. Thanks to everybody who sent in their TFAs, hashtag TFA. We'll come back to those next season. Around the league, I'll start quickly with...
Dops.
I'll bring that down. It's not necessarily something that was handed out by Dops, but James Livingston of the Cardiff Devils. There was an incident in their quarterfinal game, the first leg against the Sheffield Steelers, that was all over social media, whether it was a kneeing or not. There was a spear apparently involved. There were a few things happened in that game, but Dobbs came up with nothing. You also had Alex Guptill not getting a suspension for his fight in the final minutes of the game, the last game of the season. So the Five Flyers fans were up in arms. Any comments on any of those?
I thought the Livingston hit was a bit naughty. And I thought that he should have got a suspension for the instigator. You know, it's happened with numerous players this year. But the Cardiff Devils didn't get one with Mark Lewis a few weeks ago. Nottingham Panthers didn't get one with Guptill. If there's a change in the rule, let us know about it. But, you know, it's... David, did you say Boxy got one late?
Yeah, sure. Boxy missed the game there. Yeah. Just a few weeks ago, because he had the instigator.
So what's the difference?
I don't know. The game sheet is still online and showing that Guptill, it's like 59-47, fighting instigator. I'll chase that up
Mark
for you.
Mark Lewis was the same. His earlier on in the season for the Cardiff Devils.
Yeah, but his was changed. His game sheet was changed from for not to be an instigator penalty after the fact. But... Guptill's is still on there. As for the Livingston hit, I spoke about the Bulmer hit last week, saying I didn't think he particularly widened his stance and he got a 3-game ban. Livingston changes direction and uses a knee to try and stop a player going past. For me, it was a clear, you know, widening of stance or change of direction, and it's knee on knee. There's no such thing in the rule book as a clean hit below the waist. So for me, it's at least 5+ game supplementary discipline, possibly. I didn't think Bulmer deserved 3 games. I'm not saying that I think Livingstone deserves 3 games, but you know, and we always have to be careful that we're not comparing apples and eggs, but both name penalties, 1 week apart, one gets 3-match ban, one gets nothing.
And he played on Sunday, didn't he?
Yeah, didn't get suspended.
No, that's ridiculous.
So it's a little something to give us to chew over.
Playoff qualifications. The Glasgow Clan went 3-0 up against Guildford in Guildford, but then proceeded to lose 2 goals and then get shut out at home and lose the whole tie 7-3. That's them out, and Guildford progress. The Sheffield Steelers were 5-1 up at home to the Cardiff Devils, and then conceded over the next 3 games, I think 10 goals to score only 3. A bit of a nail biter, Cardiff, but that knocked the Sheffield Steelers out. And Cardiff progress. Fife, well, they were 3-0 up at home to the Nottingham Panthers, and they lost 3 goals and then lost in Nottingham, and they went out. And they are out, and Nottingham progress. So your final four for the playoff finals weekend, sponsored by Predictor Bet, this weekend are, of course, the Belfast Giants, the Cardiff Devils, the Nottingham Panthers, and the Guildford Flames. And I, based on last week's predictions, I can tell you that only one man got it right. Who was it?
I think it was me, wasn't it?
Yeah! You're absolutely right. Only Simon got the right four. Well done, man. Let's preview those games. The Belfast Giants take on the Guildford Flames at 1 p.m. on Saturday in the first semi-final, while the Cardiff Devils take on the Nottingham Panthers at 5 p.m. in the second. Both will be streamed by EIHL TV. I believe the details of that will be released on Wednesday. So prices and how to get them, they'll all come out on Wednesday. Keep an eye on the Elite League website. They will be streamed. And then on Sunday, the third, fourth place game, the most lucrative game in Elite League hockey, 12 p.m. and the final at 4 p.m. and you'll get that on Free Sports with Aaron Murphy, Chris Ellis, Paul Eddy, and whoever else they bring on board. I'll start with you, Davey. The Belfast Giants in the last 20 years or 20 years of their existence have never gone into a playoff weekend with the opportunity that they're now afforded.
Yeah, don't want to say the words either, Paddy. This is going to be a difficult game. You know, we look back just a few weeks that we played them in the Challenge Cup final. We know what the Guildford Flames are all about. They have a very, very hot top six, including their goaltending when it's on form, and they're very, very good special teams. It's critical. Hopefully their referees keep the whistles in their pocket, because that's critical that we play 5-on-5. Our special teams have been really, really good this season. We're running 110 or something over the, you know, combined, and that's really good darts. But, you know, we have to stay 5-on-5 or better to beat this, put this team away. You know, they've shut out a pretty good Clan team 5-0 at the weekend to seal a good win. That wasn't going to be an easy tie for them, and they've gone to Glasgow, done a number, came back home and done a number. So, you know, they have to be taken very, very seriously. We can only concentrate on ourselves really at the minute, and you know, the way we've played the last sort of 2-3 weekends, I don't think we should be fearful. We need to be respectful, but we've got to go in and just play our own game, stick the process, and hope we'll come out on the right side of it.
Simon, this is game 80 of the season competitively for the Belfast Giants. It's been a long season, but what are the dangers? What are the difficulties coming into this weekend?
Staying disciplined, staying out of the penalty box. Davey's 100% right there just a few minutes ago and talking about, you know, their special teams have been pretty decent. But so far, you know, I read somebody on Twitter a while ago saying how fast they are, and, you know, a really super fast team. So are we.
Yep.
You know, we haven't won the league, and we haven't won the Challenge Cup by being a slow team. We've been very successful this year so far. I think that, you know, if we can stay disciplined. Besko, you know, he's feeling it. You know, I was speaking to him today, and he's feeling it. You've got boys who just walking in the training today. I was down at the arena this morning. the boys are all well up for this. Like, they're all looking forward to it. Blair Riley and Adam Keefe and all the boys who have been there before have been telling the new guys, you know, that's a great experience. It's a fantastic atmosphere. You've got 11 different sets of fans there, a lot more for the Panthers and Steelers. Oh, sorry, the Steelers maybe not. But, you know, you've always got a large group of fans who are cheering, are going to be cheering for, as you say, on loan to the Belfast Giants or on loan to the Guildford Flames or whatever it may be. I can't see anybody wanting to come on loan to the Belfast Giants. To be honest, I really don't want them. I want our fans to be loud. I want our fans to get behind the team because we're going to need them this weekend. You know, the boys have talked about before as being the seventh man on the ice. I fancy our chances this weekend. I really do. But the Guildford Flames are not going to roll over and just go right the way as go, lads. Just make your way through to the final. That's not going to happen.
David, for you, is it nerves or is it excitement?
Oh, nervous excitement. That covered. Yeah, look, I'm I don't know. I don't even really know how to answer that. I'm excited for the weekend because there's an opportunity here to write a special page in the history of what's been a really special 20 years for the Belfast Giants. You know, this could be above and beyond anything that the club's ever achieved. And as speaking to Adam Keefe, obviously on Sunday night after the game, the width of a post away from something even more special. Back in January in the Continental Cup, you know, he's still sore about that, which is something that tells you that, you know, the psyche of the man that has the potential here to win all four trophies, but kind of come away from the season slightly disappointed, and that tells you all you need to know about going forward with Adam Keefe as a head coach as well, and what he did as a player for the club. Yeah, I'm nervous. I never particularly enjoy the playoff weekend, apart from 2010, when we went there and we knew we were going to win. It was a done deal. You text me when I was writing an article on the way up and says, "Don't be panicking, mate. It's in the bag." And so it turned out to be. I don't have the same. I'm very, very confident in the ability of this team. I believe in this team. They've proven time and time again in this season they've got the winning mentality and they've got the skills to win these games. But the final four is just, it's not a lottery. The best team can come out on top, but we know the seasons are when we play the Sheffield Steelers in the final. Was it Frank Doyle in that? You know,
yep.
The Giants pumped them. And we ran into a hot goaltender that night. We made one mistake and we lost a lot, unfortunately. And, you know, I think this team is very, very well geared to go one better. So let's hope that we can come out on the right side this weekend.
Simon, nervous or excited?
I'm not nervous at all. I'm not really excited about it either. I'm looking forward to the weekend. Yeah. You know, that's because I get to see my mates and talk hockey and watch the Giants hopefully win. And you know, again, if we play the way we can play,
yeah,
we're going to win this.
I agree. If we get two performances on Saturday and Sunday, like we had last Saturday and Sunday, we'll be all right.
I agree. I absolutely agree.
We are the favourites. If you go through all the polls, you go through all the conversations, you hear Danny Stewart talk after the game. Of course, we'd beaten them, we'd humped them, but he was saying, you know, any team that comes up against the way we were playing, especially on Saturday night, they're not going to beat us. We are. You look at who people think are going to win this weekend, Belfast Giants are the favourites. But taking the account from my perspective, they're going up first of all against the Guildford Flames. The Guildford Flames are going to be smarting from that Challenge Cup final. They played us. They took us all the way to overtime. They made Dustin Johnner forces a mistake at the back and they lose it on a shot from Smo after playing a phenomenal game. They're going out on Saturday to try to make right what went wrong for them. Then you come against the other semi-final. You start with the Nottingham Panthers, who could be them. And Nottingham Panthers have had a season. Let's be fair. They've had a shit season. That's a case that in front of their home fans on their home ice, they're going to try to make that right because they've lost a coach. They had an opportunity at the start of the season when they looked so strong and they looked like they had a roster and they fell away. So they've got guys there who want to go out on their home ice and make a point. And then we've got the Cardiff Devils. And the Cardiff Devils, who lost out on a three-peat, who lost out on a league title by losing to the Coventry Blaze in eighth place, by losing a league title on regulation wins. And they're going out there to try to make right what went wrong in that. So there is a challenge out there, but let's be fair. This Belfast Giants team are the Challenge Cup champions. They're the Earhart Conference champions. They're the Elite League champions. We've got Darcy Murphy, who scored 100 points. We've got Tyler Bescarani, who's the number one goalkeeper in the league. We've got players like Dustin Johnner. We've got players like Paddy Dwyer, who's a phenomenal player in this league. We've got Jim van der Meer, who's the Rolls Royce at the back. We've got Kevin Rain, who's on top of his game. And I'm not even starting to get into the likes of Johnny Boxall on the heart that he shows, the likes of Josh Roach, the likes of Kendall McFaul. We have the team that have shown over 60 games in the Elite League season, who showed in that final game of the Continental Cup, when we were 2-0 down, to pull themselves up by their bootstraps and get back into the game with that shot from Dustin Johnner. We have the team who were 11 points down in January and won the league. We have the team who went the overtime against the Guildford Flames and found a way to win. This team can go into this weekend, despite the challenges ahead of them, and take this trophy. I have no doubt in that. The two games are on Saturday and Sunday. Saturday. That's the two games on Saturday. Giants against the Flames, 1 p.m. and the Devils against the Panthers, 5 p.m. both on Elite League TV. Sunday, third, fourth place game at 12. Final at 4 p.m. with Aaron Murphy on Free Sports. Any other business, boys?
Yeah. I'm just looking through Davey's list of Kingdom of the Giants Player of the Year. How is Colin Shields not on that?
Public vote.
I mean, that's unbelievable. I'm actually sitting looking at it going, I mean, the year he got over 100 points, I can't remember what year that was. Probably
I think that was 09-10, was it?
I can't remember, Davey. But,
that he captained the team to playoff success, would that be right?
So 09-10, Stephen Murphy got it. Well, Stephen Murphy pulled off those two, you know, shootout.
Well, to be fair, I think would the vote have been before or after the playoff?
Probably would have been before, wouldn't it? But again, then Murphy came in, he played very well that season in fairness, then John Gleed the following. I'm actually just sitting looking at it going, I can't believe his name's not on that list. But you look at the list, and you've got Lloyder, Calvin Elfring, Frank Blair, Riley, Benny, you know, you've got guys on there that, you know, would push anybody for player of the year, so fair play to them. But no, that's not so much any other business, but just confusion.
An observation.
Yes.
Davey, anything?
Yeah, I'd just like to thank everyone who made a bid, but they remain anonymous, that gave the money to, actually, Simon on Saturday night. He sorted the shirt site to them and got the money off them. That money's going to be going to the Splash Park in Rosetown, Saskatchewan, in memory of the Gasper family. Of course, Kendall McFaul were number 27 this season, in memory of Troy and his wife Carissa and kids Shay, Kale and Max, who unfortunately died on the 28th of June in a car accident last year. And obviously we all know the story as to why now that Kendall wears the 27, Paxton Schulte's retired 27, in honour of his best friend Troy. And out in Saskatchewan there, they're doing a splash park in memory of the Gasper family. So the Gasper Family Foundation there will be getting just over $700 Canadian to go to the battle fund to get that park sorted out. So thank you to everyone.
Hear, hear. Hear, hear. Fantastic.
Yeah.
On that note then, gents, I'm just going to wrap it up a little bit of AOB of my own, because next week we're going to do a bit of a playoff special. We're going to do a bit of recording through the week, a bit like what you heard with the Continental Cup and the Challenge Cup final when we covered those, something a little bit like that. So I'm going to take the opportunity now just to say a few thanks. A big thank you to the Belfast Giants, the likes of Brooksy and Glover, who have facilitated a lot of the stuff that we've done, especially the View from the Bridge Lives and things like that. A big thank you to all the players who have come on over the course of this season. There's nobody has made any bones about just making themselves available for the the TFAs, the interviews, all that sort of stuff. A big thanks to The guys at Belfast Giants TV, we got a lot of audio from those guys, and they are sponsors as well, Beer 52, Phonacab, and Total Performance Fitness. Thanks to Laura Small, who was always helps in organising the, who's going to hand out the Player of the Month award. I'm going to forget a whole load of people just to thank the course of this season, because it's been a very enjoyable season for us on A View from the Bridge. It's been entertaining. We've had a great team to watch. We've had a great opportunity to interact with the team and interact with you guys who are listening in. Thank you very much to everybody over the course of the season who sent us tweets at AVFTV on Facebook, or sent us, I don't think we had an email this season, maybe at one.
I sent you one.
No, you did. You sent there, right? Very true, Simon. Very true. But, you know, the interaction with you guys, the interaction with the listeners, and the fact that you even take your time to listen to this podcast at all is very humbling to us, and we really appreciate it. And we appreciate you guys to turn up to A View from the Bridge live, or even just stop for a chat. We're just hockey fans. We're just hockey fans like you, and we just love talking hockey, and we just stick it on the internet, and you're very kind to download it and to listen. But my biggest thanks of all go to, of course, Mr. McGimsey, Mr. Kitchen, and Mr. Neil, who over the course of this season have once again pulled it out of the bag and made it a fantastic season. Simon, you know, getting all those interviews for us and sorting out the guys. You know, people don't know that, you know, Simon goes down to training, get those interviews, and it organises the guys to come on the TFA. Davey, you know, goes above and beyond with regards to getting those statistics. He's got his own stats team. He's got his own job to do. And he's, you know, he's got his own stats team and gets all that sort of stuff available. And then Joel, you know, he does some great work doing all the game reports and his interaction with the team as well. This A View from the Bridge is very much, very much a team effort. And as we sit here at 25-12 on a Tuesday night, it's just a normal sort of thing. It's something that I've enjoyed doing for many, many years, and hopefully many years to come. So a big, big thank you for all that. And I think we're done, gents.
No, we're not done. We're not done at all. You're thanking everybody else. But Paddy, you're the glue that holds this thing together. The way you mean you've put all these shows together, especially this season again. And I mean, the one you've done for the Challenge Cup weekend was brilliant. And you don't have to bleep that out. you know, going down, we know we get texts. I usually stay up late and, you know, see the message coming through at 20 past one, half past one in the morning. Right, guys, it's going to be up. It's ready to go. You're live at 8 o'clock in the morning. And then when I wake up the next morning, you've got something else on at, you know, half past 6, 7 o'clock. You're a machine. And the work you do, which goes unnoticed, is absolutely outstanding. And, I don't think we could do this. I mean, Davey's tried to attempt to try and do the production a couple of times. And let's be honest, Davey, you're crap at it. But
I thought you were quite good with Davey. So.
No, but, you know, Davey will tell you himself. Like, he just can't wait for you to get back from holiday. But, Paddy, listen, you do an absolutely awesome job. And, yes, it's part of the team, but there's no team without you, mate. That's the bottom line.
That's kind of you, mate. Thank you. But, yes, it's a very much a labour of love for all of us, I think.
And Davey falling out with me. You're not talking to me now, Davey? I love you, wee man. Love you.
Well, thanks, boys, for your thing this evening. What time is it?
No problem, Patrick.
It's 25-12. Yeah. I guess I'll see you on Saturday.
I'll look forward to seeing you, Patrick.
And I just have to stay at home.
The Sheffield Steelers campaign of hate.
The Simon Kitchen's campaign of hate.
The first semi-final between the Giants and the Flames is at 1 p.m. on EIHL TV, if you're not making it over. Details of that will be on the Elite League website and on their Twitter, so keep an eye on that on Wednesday. Devils-Panthers, 5 p.m. And the two winners go through to the final at 4 p.m. on Sunday at the NIC, and that will be screened live on Free Sports with Aaron Murphy, Paul Ailey, and Chris Ellis. at AVFTB on Twitter, kingdomofthejans.com, and on Facebook, soundcloud.com/AVFTB for all of our interviews. We'll be bringing out stuff hopefully right throughout the weekend, some of the post-game interviews and whatever, and then you'll get us here next weekend for a view from the bridge. Wherever you are this weekend, if you are over the NIC, if you are following your champion Belfast Giants into what could be a phenomenal weekend, but you know, sport is sport, we'll take it as it is. We hope you enjoy your hockey, and we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Sports Social Podcast Network.